Jabba gaped.
You're shitting me!
Becker shook his head. No, it reads, qui custodiat ipsos custodes. It translates roughly to, who will guard the guards? Susan interrupted, finishing David's sentence. Becker did a double take. Susan, I didn't know you could...
It's from the satires of Juvenal, she exclaimed. Who will guard the guards? Who will guard the NSA while we guard the world? It was Tancato's favorite saying.
So, Midge demanded, is it the passkey or not?
It must be the passkey, Brinkerhoff declared.
Fontaine stood silent, apparently processing the information.
I don't know if it's the key, Jabba said. It seems unlikely to me that Tancato would use a non-random construction. Just omit the spaces, Brinkerhoff cried, and type the damn code.
Fontaine turned to Susan. What's your take, Ms. Fletcher? She thought a moment. She couldn't quite put her finger on it, but something didn't feel right. Susan knew Tancato well enough to know he thrived on simplicity. His proofs and programming were always crystalline and absolute. The fact that the spaces needed to be removed seemed odd. It was a minor detail, but it was a flaw. Definitely not clean. Not what Susan would have expected as Ensai Tancato's crowning blow.
It doesn't feel right, Susan finally said. I don't think it's the key.
Fontaine sucked in a long breath, his dark eyes probing hers.
Ms. Fletcher, in your mind, if this is not the key, why would Ensai Tancato have given it away? If he knew we'd murdered him, don't you assume he'd want to punish us by making the ring disappear?
A new voice interrupted the dialogue. Director? All eyes turned to the screen. It was Agent Colliander in Seville. He was leaning over Becker's shoulder and speaking into the mic. For whatever it's worth, I'm not so sure Mr. Tancato knew he was being murdered.
I beg your pardon? Fontaine demanded.
Houlihot was a pro, sir. We saw the kill, only 50 meters away. All evidence suggests Tancato was unaware.
Evidence? Brinkerhoff demanded. What evidence? Tancato gave away this ring, that's proof enough.
Agent Smith, Fontaine interrupted. What makes you think Ensai Tancato was unaware he was being killed? Smith cleared his throat.
Houlihot killed him with an NTB. A non-invasive trauma bullet. It's a rubber pod that strikes the chest and spreads out. Silent. Very clean. Mr. Tancato would only have felt a sharp thump before going into cardiac arrest.
A trauma bullet, Becker mused to himself. That explains the bruising.
It's doubtful, Smith added, that Tancato associated the sensation with a gunman.
And yet he gave away his ring, Fontaine stated.
True, sir. But he never looked for his assailant. A victim always looks for his assailant when he's been shot. It's instinct.
Fontaine puzzled.
And you're saying Tancato didn't look for Houlihot?
No, sir. We have it on film if you'd like.
X-11 filter's going, a technician yelled.
The worm's halfway there.
Forget the film, Brinkerhoff declared. Type in the damn kill code and finish this.
Jabba sighed, suddenly the cool one.
Director, if we enter the wrong code...
Yes, Susan interrupted. If Tancato didn't suspect we killed him, we've got some questions to answer.
What's our time frame, Jabba? Fontaine demanded.
Jabba looked up at the VR.
About 20 minutes. I suggest we use the time wisely.
Fontaine was silent a long moment, then sighed heavily.
All right. Run the film.
Chapter 117.
Transmitting video in 10 seconds, Agent Smith's voice crackled. We're dropping every other frame, as well as audio. We'll run as close to real time as possible.
Everyone on the podium stood silent, watching, waiting. Jabba typed a few keys and rearranged the video wall. Tancato's message appeared on the far left. Only the truth will save you now. On the right of the wall was the static interior shot of the van with Becker and the two agents huddled around the camera. In the center, a fuzzy frame appeared. It dissolved into static
and then into a black and white image of a park.
Transmitting, Agent Smith announced.
The shot looked like an old movie. It was stilted and jerky, a byproduct of frame dropping, a process that halved the amount of information sent and enabled faster transmission. The shot panned out across an enormous concourse, enclosed on one end by a semicircular facade, the Seville Ayuntamiento. There were trees in the foreground. The park was empty.
X-11s are down, a technician called out. This bad boy's hungry.
Smith began to narrate. His commentary had the detachment of a seasoned agent.
This is shot from the van, he said, about 50 meters from the kill zone. Tancado is approaching from the right. Hulahot's in the trees to the left.
We've got a time crunch here, Fontaine pressed. Let's get to the meat of it.
Agent Colliander touched a few buttons, and the frame speed increased. Everyone on the podium watched in anticipation as their former associate, Ensai Tancado, came into the frame. The accelerated video made the whole image seem comic. Tancado shuffled jerkily out onto the concourse, apparently taking in the scenery. He shielded his eyes and gazed up at the spires of the huge facade.
This is it, Smith warned. Hulahut's a pro. He took his first open shot.
Smith was right. There was a flash of light from behind the trees on the left of the screen. An instant later, Tancado clutched his chest. He staggered momentarily. The camera zoomed in on him, unstable, in and out of focus. As the footage rolled in high speed, Smith coldly continued his narration.
As you can see, Tancado is instantly in cardiac arrest.
Susan felt ill watching the images. Tancado clutched at his chest with crippled hands, a confused look of terror on his face.
You'll notice, Smith added, his eyes are focused downward at himself. Not once does he look around.
And that's important?
Jabba half stated, half inquired.
Very, Smith said. If Tancado suspected foul play of any kind, he would instinctively search the area. But as you can see, he does not.
On the screen, Tancado dropped to his knees, still clutching his chest. He never once looked up. Ensai Tancado was a man alone, dying a private, natural death.
It's odd, Smith said, puzzled. Trauma pods usually won't kill this quickly. Sometimes, if the target's big enough, they don't kill at all.
Bad heart, Fontaine said flatly.
Smith arched his eyebrows, impressed.
Fine choice of weapon, then.
Susan watched as Tancado toppled from his knees to his side and finally onto his back. He lay staring upward, grabbing at his chest. Suddenly, the camera wheeled away from him back toward the grove of trees. A man appeared. He was wearing wire-rimmed glasses and carrying an oversized briefcase. As he approached the concourse and the writhing Tancado, his fingers began tapping in a strange silent dance on a mechanism attached to his hand.
He's working his monocle, Smith announced, sending a message that Tancado is terminated.
Smith turned to Becker and chuckled.
Looks like Hulahot had a bad habit of transmitting kills before his victim actually expired.
Colliander sped the film up some more, and the camera followed Hulahot as he began moving toward his victim. Suddenly, an elderly man rushed out of a nearby courtyard, ran over to Tancado, and knelt beside him. Hulahot slowed his approach. A moment later, two more people appeared from the courtyard, an obese man and a red-haired woman. They also came to Tancado's side.
Unfortunate choice of kill zone, Smith said. Hulahot thought he had the victim isolated.
On the screen, Hulahot watched for a moment and then shrank back into the trees, apparently to wait.
Here comes the handoff, Smith prompted. We didn't notice it the first time around.
Susan gazed up at the sickening image on the screen. Tancado was gasping for breath, apparently trying to communicate something to the Samaritans kneeling beside him. Then, in desperation, he thrust his left hand above him, almost hitting the old man in the face. He held the crippled appendage outward before the old man's eyes. The camera tightened on Tancado's three deformed fingers, and on one of them, clearly glistening in the Spanish sun, was the golden ring. Tancado thrust it out again. The old man recoiled. Tancado turned to the woman. He held his three deformed fingers directly in front of her face, as if begging her to understand. The ring glinted in the sun. The woman looked away. Tankato, now choking, unable to make a sound, turned to the obese man and tried one last time. The elderly man suddenly stood and dashed off, presumably to get help. Tankato seemed to be weakening, but he was still holding the ring in the fat man's face. The fat man reached out and held the dying man's wrist, supporting it. Tankato seemed to gaze upward at his own fingers, at his own ring, and then to the man's eyes. As a final plea before death, Ensai Tankato gave the man an almost imperceptible nod, as if to say, "Yes." Then Tankato fell limp.
"Jesus," Jabba moaned.
Suddenly the camera swept to where Houlihat had been hiding. The assassin was gone. A police motorcycle appeared, tearing up Avenida Ferrelli. The camera wheeled back to where Tankato was lying. The woman kneeling beside him apparently heard the police sirens. She glanced around nervously and then began pulling at her obese companion, begging him to leave. The two hurried off. The camera tightened on Tankato, his hands folded on his lifeless chest. The ring on his finger was gone. Chapter 118. "It's proof," Fontaine said decidedly. "Tankato dumped the ring. He wanted it as far from himself as possible, so we'd never find it."
"But, Director," Susan argued, "it doesn't make sense. If Tankato was unaware he'd been murdered, why would he give away the kill code?"
"I agree," Jabba said. "The kid's a rebel, but he's a rebel with a conscience. Getting us to admit to Translator is one thing. Revealing our classified databank is another."
Fontaine stared, disbelieving. "You think Tankato wanted to stop this worm? You think his dying thoughts were for the poor NSA?
"Tunnel block corroding," a technician yelled. "Full vulnerability in 15 minutes maximum."
"I'll tell you what," the director declared, taking control. "In 15 minutes, every third world country on the planet will learn how to build an intercontinental ballistic missile. If someone in this room thinks he's got a better candidate for a kill code than this ring, I'm all ears."
The director waited. No one spoke. He returned his gaze to Jabba and locked eyes.
"Tankato dumped that ring for a reason, Jabba. Whether he was trying to bury it, or whether he thought the fat guy would run to a payphone and call us with the information, I really don't care. But I've made the decision. We're entering that quote now."
Jabba took a long breath. He knew Fontaine was right. There was no better option. They were running out of time. Jabba sat.
"Okay, let's do it."
He pulled himself to the keyboard.
"Mr. Becker? The inscription, please. Nice and easy."
David Becker read the inscription, and Jabba typed. When they were done, they double-checked the spelling and omitted all the spaces. On the center panel of the view wall, near the top, were the letters QUISCUSTODITIPSOSCUSTODES.
"I don't like it," Susan muttered softly. "It's not clean."
Jabba hesitated, hovering over the enter key.
"Do it," Fontaine commanded.
Jabba hit the key. Seconds later, the whole room knew it was a mistake. Chapter 119.
"It's accelerating," Soshi yelled from the back of the room. "It's the wrong code."
Everyone stood in silent horror. On the screen before them was the error message. "Illegal entry. Numeric field only."
"Damn it," Jabba screamed. "Numeric only. We're looking for a goddamn number. We're fucked. This ring is shit."
"Worms at double speed," Soshi shouted. "Penalty round."